Right now, families across the world are celebrating Hanukkah, so we thought it would be a good time to revisit our conversation all about the Jewish holiday.
We talk with our pals Barry Hardiman and Sarah Ventry about why Hanukkah is not Jewish Christmas and how the minor holiday has an outsized place in pop culture. I'm Stephen Thompson.
And I'm Linda Holmes. On this encore episode of NPR's Pop Culture Happy Hour, we're talking all about Hanukkah. Now, neither Stephen nor myself is a celebrator of Hanukkah.
But you are celebrators.
That's right.
We are celebrators in general.
I want to ask Sarah what your Hanukkah celebrations looked like when you were young.
Sure. So I grew up here in Arizona, which means that there was a Jewish community, but like Jews were not ever the majority of the population anywhere ever, or even like the predominant minority population. So when I was a kid, Hanukkah often involved like my mom would come to school and like help explain what Hanukkah was to kids because there were like only two Jewish kids or Jewish families in my elementary school.
Right. And For people who don't know a lot about Hanukkah, can we get the quick refresher on what Hanukkah actually is?
Sure, yes. So Hanukkah is a very minor holiday religiously, but in modern American life, it has taken on kind of a huge persona because of its proximity to Christmas. So it really celebrates, I think Barry earlier called it guerrilla warfare, which is true,
right.
Which is true. So it celebrates an epic battle by this group called the Maccabees. And then it also celebrates what I think Barry called a dubious miracle. I would not use the word dubious. The miracle of all miracles, the most exciting thing ever. You had a light that stayed lit.
I mean, so I'm with you. Like, I hate when the power goes out. So I could see how, like, 8 days of that could be really awesome. But you still have to go to the head hotel at the end of it to plug your stuff in. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So there was this light that was supposed to be consistently burning. And the people thought they only had enough oil for the lamp to burn for one night, but there was a miracle and it burned for 8 nights, thus birthing Hanukkah.
So you were explaining what your celebrations looked like. How did you celebrate when you were a kid?
We did kind of, I think, what is, I think, fairly standard. So we did presents, typically opening one each night, and it was often a combination of like a few fun presents and then like very practical things. Like there was always kind of the squishy package that ended up being socks or underwear. Mm-hmm. And then we made latkes, which are these potato pancakes that are fried in oil. It's all about eating fried things in oil because of the miracle of oil, or just because, you know.
I was going to say, this is a miracle of delicious.
Guys, am I Jewish?
Because if you need
oil,
a reason.
Who doesn't understand?
Yeah, so we made latkes, and then we would often play this game that's really not actually that fun called dreidel, which is a little top where you win M&Ms because apparently you couldn't eat them without winning them.
I was going to say, traditionally, you win M&Ms. That's the long-time religious tradition.
Right.
Is that you win M&Ms.
Yeah, and then my mom also went through these like various phases of like some years we didn't do a lot of like internal decorating in the house, and then other years she would be like, we're gonna celebrate, and there would be like silver and gold tinsel and like some kind of makeshift banner that said Happy Hanukkah like hanging from the fireplace depending on the year and what was on sale at Target.
Awesome. All right. So, Barry, what did yours look like?
Remarkably similar. My mom is Jewish and my dad is not, but we were raised Jewish. So, that was just something there was no sometimes Christmas unless we were at my grandparents'.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a result, you know, my mom was really trying to prove that it was kind of great. And so it was kind of great.
Yeah.
So, we too had the Happy Hanukkah banner. It was really, and I'm telling you, I really did not know the story of beyond the temple was destroyed. They went back in. We had the 8 nights. I didn't really understand the story until I was in college and, you know, was taking religious courses. And I was like, oh, my God, because the Maccabees were like the first people that the guerrilla warfare were like Hellenized Jews. For me, it doesn't encompass the values of Judaism that I now really love and I'm passing on to my, which are more, I think, encompassed by a holiday like Passover, which I take really seriously. Or Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which, the big three, as we call them.
Yeah.
So we did every night. But it, like, we had this very traditional thing that had been, my mom did it and her mom did it. And, you know, now my kids do it. And I do kind of, it just feels nostalgic more than, you know, anything else. And we, you know, we did little presents at the beginning, you know, for any parents out there. We discovered that, because I don't, what I didn't realize until I had kids is the horrible thing is giving your children presents they want to play with at sundown.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
Because that's exactly when you want them to disappear.
Yeah.
So they've been having Christmas morning and Hanukkah night, where they
there
get their presents
go.
In the morning. And so anyway, little life hack for all you folks out there that I discovered recently, which has changed everything.
Well, one of the things that I thought was interesting when we were exchanging thoughts prior to this taping, one of the things that Sarah was pointing out is that, as she said, and as you said, it's not necessarily a primary religious holiday. Mm-mm. But, you know, when we speak about it as a kind of a pop cultural phenomenon slash just a cultural phenomenon, Sarah was talking about how its proximity to Christmas is part of why it's so much a kid's holiday in so many families. Can you talk a little bit, Sarah, about what you meant by that?
Yeah, I think, and I think I especially noticed this again, like growing up in Arizona where there weren't a lot of Jewish kids. You know, there is a plethora of pop culture offerings and just any offerings for Christmas time. There's special food you eat. There's lots of sweets. There's a Christmas special on every syndicated television show. There's a bunch of great movies that come out.
There's
like
literary fiction.
Right. There's everything. There's like a guy that comes down your chimney and gives you presents. And so I think that there is a real strong feeling, particularly for maybe, like, I grew up as a Reformed Jew, but like for Jews who are maybe not Orthodox Jews, I guess is what I'm saying, that, you know, it really kind of stinks if you're a parent and you're watching your kid surrounded by all of this Christmas magic and then there's like not a lot for them. And I think over the years, there's been like maybe people have capitalized on that, certainly, but also there's this feeling that like we have to have something to make these Jewish kids feel like there's a little bit of magic in the wintertime for them too. And so I think it's just totally gotten blown out. But I think pop culture hasn't really caught up. Like, they haven't done as good a job. There are not a lot of good, I can't even think of one really good like Hanukkah special on TV that I've ever seen. Or like, there's not like a really great Hanukkah movie. Like,
it's Eight Crazy Nights.
Oh God, it's so bad.
Well, this is the kind of, this is what happens when we were first talking about this. We were like, do we talk about Eight Crazy Nights? Because there are
I think we have to. As a parent, I would like to warn other parents.
Right. So talk about what Eight Crazy Nights actually
well, but
is.
First I want to pick up on, as a parent, on what Sarah said, because I have two little kids that are that have recently been asking about Santa, and they're not, which I haven't really found a good answer to, except for, oh, look, I think we know that person out on the street. You know,
right,
look at the bird. One thing that I that has been sort of useful about, my kids are so lucky. They're just, you know, lucky American kids who, you know, have two college educated parents who love them and, you know, are, you know, not hungry, whatever. Like, to a certain extent, like, at one point, my husband was, who grew up Catholic, was like, they could afford to give up Christmas. You know, like, I'm raising like two little white boys. Like, I know, like, there's a moment where it's like, okay, this is actually a good thing. And it has actually been a sort of a useful parenting tool to say there's something you have to give up, because almost nothing else in their life have they truly had to give up in the way that I think the majority of the world does. So for me, that has actually been, but at the same time, I am also a Jew that like really loves Christmas. So I want to participate in the season. And in order to do that happily, I've got to, you know, sort of participate in the tense, in the glittery, snowy, good music. Irving Berlin, and, you know, there's this, there's such a wonderful oeuvre of Jews who wrote the most wonderful music for Christmas. So clearly it is a universal spirit, you know, we can all participate in. So, I mean, the thing is that, like, no matter what, you know, there's clearly some universal spirit that exists, which is maybe not Christmas, but is just this, it's the end of the year, let's all get together and have delicious food and hug each other.
I mean, I'm a big proponent of making your own holidays as much as possible. And obviously, this is not centered on religious ceremony, but shortly after my divorce, like 7 years ago, I started a new holiday with my kids called Christmas to Santa's Revenge. revenge. And the whole, and we built all this lore around it.
It's Danish, right?
It generally was like January 2nd. And so my son came up with this whole thing where Dick Clark's ghost decides who's been naughty or nice. And we just had like all these jokes.
Terrifying. I love it.
We just had all these jokes and lore. And like it came for those years when we celebrated Christmas to Santa's Revenge. That was my biggest holiday. That was the holiday that I looked forward to the most. And I spent Christmas sitting on the couch watching Archer.
Yeah.
You know? And
can vouch.
And then over time and arrangements settled out in different ways. Now I usually spend Christmas with the kids. We don't celebrate Christmas to Santa's Revenge anymore. Mm-hmm. And so I've almost forgotten about it. It's like the holidays are your family for a lot of people in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Well, so I do want to talk about some specific pieces of Hanukkah pop culture that do exist, despite the fact that, as Sarah said, pop culture has not necessarily served Hanukkah all that well. So one of the things, when we were preparing this show, the conversation became, should we talk about the Adam Sandler movie 8 Crazy Nights? Because it was sort of the first thing that came to mind in terms of mass pop culture.
Which every Jew hears and goes, oh, this is not good for the Jews.
No. So talk to me about 8 Crazy Nights, Barry.
It's
Are you familiar
so
with it?
Terrible. It's awful. I mean, it is chock full of stereotypes and the worst kind of, you know, I love potty humor. I have two little boys. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
But this is like the worst kind. I mean, there is a joke at the expense of a transgender woman. I refreshed some of my knowledge. There's an awful moment where an elderly man is like pushed down a porta potty. And I mean, I can't think of anything that less encompasses the values that I really do kind of love as, you know, about Judaism than a Crazy Nights. And also because, you know, Adam Sandler does the Hanukkah song, which is kind of wonderful, and
I love
updates
the
it
song.
And it's always good to find out like other celebrities who are Jewish. You're like, oh, that's great.
You don't need Deck the Halls or Jingle Bell Rock, cause you can spin a dreidel with Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock, both Jewish.
And I think the Hanukkah song kind of gets a little bit at the thing that Sarah was talking about how, you know, the whole premise of the Hanukkah song is feeling left out and, mm-hmm. and like, you know, everybody wants to be excited about all the people who celebrate Hanukkah because Christmas is so, like, weirdly ubiquitous in the culture at this time. Sarah, did anything occur to you as a piece of Hanukkah-related pop culture?
The thing that has brought me the most joy in the last few years is the Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings song, nice. 8 Days of Hanukkah. But I think that having something so soulful and fun and upbeat and good, and that's just like a really good song, is such a relief to me because I think so much attempts at Hanukkah pop culture just totally misses the mark. That is my Hanukkah jam every year.
To light a candle for those Maccabees who oiled it, burn and burn.
Day two.
Time to spin a dreidel and hope that Kimbo shows up on my turn.
Well, when I was thinking about this, it occurred to me that there's a version of O Hanukkah on one of my favorite holiday albums, which is Bare Naked Ladies, Bare Naked for the Holidays. I don't listen to Bare Naked Ladies all the time, but when I do, it's usually the holiday season. They have some really fun stuff on there, including they sing O Hanukkah.
O Hanukkah, come light the menorah. Let's have a party, we'll all dance the horror. Gather round the table, we'll give you a treat. Sip open in to play with and latkes to eat.
They sang O Hanukkah, but then they also like went to the trouble of writing a sort of semi-forgettable Hanukkah pop song, just like a lot of semi-forgettable Christmas songs.
We light the candles for Hanukkah.
And I also wanted to mention, because Barry and I were together on an episode of this podcast about romance novels, there are so many Christmas romance novels. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Wendell, who was also on that podcast with us actually wrote a Hanukkah romance that is called Lighting the Flames, a Hanukkah Story. And because she really wanted there to be a Hanukkah.
Sure.
It's a very kind of charming, lovely romance novel set around Hanukkah. And it's not just incidentally Hanukkah. It takes place in the winter, but at a Jewish summer camp that is operating in the winter for, you know, reasons of, you know, for romance plot reasons. And so they spend a lot of time actually explaining Hanukkah and explaining elements of Judaism in a very, like, accessible inside the story kind of, you know, relatively seamless way. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. So again, Lighting the Flames, Sarah Wendell, available ebook or paperback, I think. It's a lovely little story.
That like makes me love Sarah Wendell even more.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. What else do you have, Sarah? Do you have any TV? I heard you had a TV special that you liked.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, I really liked the Rugrats Hanukkah special.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
I wanted to bring that one up.
Yes.
Which was phenomenal. And I feel like the Rugrats did... Like, I don't know enough about the creators of the show to know who was Jewish on that staff, but they clearly had
it.
Some Jewish people. Yeah, because they did, like, an amazing Passover special, too. So I think for me, like, as a kid, the Rugrats Hanukkah was always, like, it was the one that got talked about at Hebrew school. Like, it was the one it was legit. Like, it had all the elements of Hanukkah. It had, like, the story. It had, like, the fun stuff. It had the, like, cheap wax Hanukkah candles, I think. Yeah, that was one that I always really, really liked. And then when I was going back and trying to think about other sort of Hanukkah pop culture things, when I was like sort of looking around, the thing that kept popping up was the Armadillo episode of Friends.
Yes. Yeah.
Which, like, I think is really an amazing metaphor for how Hanukkah is often treated in pop culture, mm-hmm. which is that Ross tries to get a Santa suit to wear for his son. He can't get a Santa suit, so he ends up with an armadillo suit and shows up and says, "I'm the holiday armadillo. Merry Christmas." And then he kind of pauses and then he goes, "And happy Hanukkah."
Yeah.
And so I think it's this sort of like, oh, gosh, we could totally make this like a Hanukkah thing, too. But then it's just sort of shoehorned in.
But that episode then becomes about Ross wanting to explain mm-hmm. Hanukkah, but having the
yes.
sense that his son only cares about Santa. And he keeps trying to explain Hanukkah, and his son keeps wanting to hear about Santa, and he's very pained mm-hmm. and ultimately like has to kind of find a way to get his kid to stop asking about Santa and so that he can explain the holiday armadillo.
Yeah, no, it's a very, right. it's actually very sweet. And
yeah.
I think, by the way, like when I went back and thought about this, I think a lot of the good Hanukkah pop culture comes wrapped in drama or sitcom.
Like yeah.
It's, you
yeah.
know, there is yeah. no Charlie Brown Hanukkah.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah.
The thing that I actually, my favorite, this is not even really Hanukkah because it's Chrismica.
Right.
But I adore, like, I actually really, like, recently have gone back and dug into the OC because I really love it.
Yeah.
This is Seth Cohen bringing both halves of his family together into Chrismica, which became a totally overused, mm-hmm. you know, phrase for a long time. But now going back and looking at those, like, I think there are three or four maybe episodes, they're actually very, very sweet. There's a little bit of explanation about the whole thing, but they're also not like very special episodes,
right.
which I think is really smart because it's not a very special holiday, mm-hmm. but it's all about, you know, there's a couple. I mean, I feel like there's like a Marissa episode that's because she's always derailing everything, but which is like, okay, fine, whatever. But then there is the, in general, it is this sort of celebration of family. Plot is moving along. It is actually like useful in terms of like of moving the OC to its final destination. And in the end, it's just about feeling good about your family, which is what the show was about. Was about
yeah.
family
and what holidays so, sort of are as it, we're
exactly
discussing.
Which is where when you can sort of back away from the religiousness of it, it's kind of wonderful.
Well, I mean, Chrismica is basically a precursor to Christmas to Santa's Revenge.
Right. I think pop culture gets its arms around holidays largely by trying to, you know, in two different ways, right? Either it does the very special episode or it just gets into it as like a, this is a time when families get to spend time together and probably works better for many different holidays when they take that route, I suppose. All right, Stephen, you are a music guy. I am wondering whether songs came to you?
I wanted to mention the Leavies. If Bob Boylan were here, he would insist on talking about the Leavies, which is this kind of sort of offshoot of the band Guster. A member of Guster started this project called the Leavies, and they've got a Hanukkah EP that includes what is, at least to Bob, become a Hanukkah staple, the song How Do You Spell Chanukah? And it's got like two I don't know how many H's are in it, several K's, several N's, sort of, you know, kind of just tying into just different silly things about the holiday. I also wanted to mention from the Stephen Colbert Christmas special, which has a lot of like fairly reverent Christmas material in it. He brings in Jon Stewart and sort of hands Jon Stewart the mic. And Jon Stewart sings this sad little timid song called Can I Interest You in Hanukkah?
Is it merry?
It's kind of merry.
Is it cheery?
Got some cheer.
Is it jolly?
Look, I wouldn't know from jolly, but it's not my least unfavorite time of year.
Part of what we're talking about here is that, like, A, Hanukkah is not Jewish Christmas.
Right.
B, there are some things that have had fun with the idea.
Like, there's two sort of branches of holiday humor. Of like holiday art. You have like Irving Berlin writing White Christmas,
yes,
and like
right.
you know all the and those amazing. And then there's this kind of like the Adam Sandler sort of silly. You know, I mean, I have a children's book that literally begins with the words, "It was 'twas the night before Hanukkah, and Jews across the country from New York to Santa Monica," which traffics in some very hard stereotypes if you think about it. But I mean, there is this kind of like really truly like a particular kind of Jewish humor that I kind of also love. And so the fact of that, like, oh, it's okay, I'll just sit in the dark. Like that kind of that nevish, like that's what Hanukkah is. It's like, it's all right, I'll just take a card. You know, and that to me is also so much a part of my Jewish upbringing and the way that I plan on, you know, guilting my children. You know, that I also love it. You know, I went to Party City the other day and tried to, I tried to find a blue snowflake, you know, just something. Mm-hmm. And they didn't even have, I mean, there was no like end cap of like sad menorah. And so I had to, you know, have this amazing discussion with a woman. I was like, is there any gelt? Which of course turned into I don't know, I haven't called my mother in a long time. I was like, coins, do we just have coins? You know, and so there I was, you know, and it was, so that in and of itself is part of the experience of Hanukkah. And, you know, I mean, maybe my kids are like at this age, maybe they long for Santa, but for me, that's what opens my heart.
Sarah, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, I feel like somewhat relieved to hear that, because I think the whole time, like, my family had always blamed this experience on the fact that we were in Arizona. Mm. And then, like, the grocery stores would get, like, really confused whenever they knew it was a Jewish holiday. And so they would just put, like,
matzah.
One end cap of all the things. For like, it would be, like, matzah next to Hanukkah candles, next to, like, a candle that you light when somebody dies, next to, like, Manischewitz.
Right.
And, like, that would be the whole shelf. And then it would, like, always, like, we would always end up leaving the store with, like, someone complaining about, like, oh, they don't even understand.
Right.
Like, I think I had to go to 3 stores last year for Hanukkah candles.
Right. And the amount of times I've walked out with a yard sight candle.
Right, exactly.
Like, in for.
Well, this will suffice. Yeah, exactly. So,
well, Sarah, I'm like a nice Jewish girl from the Northeast, and I've had that exact same experience. In
I
the
had
suburbs
no
of Boston.
Idea.
I could listen to Sarah describe Hanukkah's place,
Hanukkah and Caps
for the rest
all
of my
day.
Life.
Yeah,
the stores are trying really hard to take an interest in lamp oil sustainability.
Well, we want to know about your favorite Hanukkah moments from pop culture. I bet we missed some. Of course, thank you for listening to Pop Culture Happy Hour from NPR. We will see you all tomorrow.